Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Saints Hour. It is an inside look at the black and gold by Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints. And tailgating they will be doing, not this weekend, well, I guess they will be in Clemson, but tailgating they will be for Arizona and San Francisco as the Saints open up the 2025 football season, not this weekend, but back-to-back home games to start 2025. And today was always going to be kind of a busy day numerically as the Saints had to reduce their roster down to 53, and then tomorrow they can increase it by 16 or 17 with the practice squad. But Kellen Moore also spoke this afternoon and named, I guess, Jeff Nowak, sideline reporter, joining me here on the show, is what I think most people expected, I guess. Although I talked to a guy yesterday who kind of knows, he's like, yeah, I can see it. Yes, has Spencer done what he needed to do to earn the job? And does he have the experience that, yes, it's crucial, even though it's seven games. But then there's the other coin. It's like, if you're going to peel the Band-Aid off, right? If we're going to go with Shuck and just live with it, right? And I was like, I don't think so. But, you know, I guess I can see it a little bit. But, I mean, it just felt like this was the move to be made.
At the risk of using a $2 word here, I think what happens a lot of time in these conversations is people mistake impatience for pragmatism. Like, they look at it and say, I'd rather see this guy earlier to find out what the answers are, and they forget, like, that's not how the head coach, that's not how the team is going to look at it. They're going to look at it saying, what is the best path to A, win games, and to B, put our rookie quarterback in the best position possible? And I think that's what you had, and that was the calculus, right? There's a reason that Spencer took the first team reps at camp. There's a reason that he got the first team reps in both live scrimmages. There's a reason he got the first team reps in the joint practices. There's a reason he was the first guy to start a preseason game and the guy that started two of the three preseason games, because he came in slightly ahead and he never did anything to surrender that first step lead that he came in with, right? He was consistent. That's the word Kellen Moore used, and I think that's the correct word to use. He was consistent. He made good decisions. He was kind of the steady hand. Tyler started, you know, he had a rough start, and he progressed very well. I was worried over the first couple weeks because he was swimming, and it was like, okay, he can either take his lumps and learn from them, or this could get ugly. And you could start asking some serious questions about whether that pick was the right choice or not. Tyler made it a conversation, right? There was a point after the preseason opener where Spencer looked sketchy, I think is a good word to use, against the Chargers. Tyler had some really nice moments. He had the touchdown to Mason Tipton. Then he followed that up with a couple really nice practices, and Spencer, it felt like, was kind of flattening out. But then from the Jaguars game on, Spencer really seemed to lock in. That drive to win, or the time to win, it felt like a win, against the Jaguars was a moment where you were like, that's a starting quarterback type play, type moment. And obviously you wanted to see him kind of put a stamp on it against the Broncos, but all he did was go out against a really good defense, lead a couple scoring drives. There was probably one play away both times, and that's your starting quarterback, and you're going to go from there. But yeah, I mean, like, I think most people kind of landed on, it's going to be Spencer until it isn't. And the only question was whether Kellen Moore agreed, right? And I do think, like, he was being honest in that it was very close. He told us today that, you know, they sat these guys down and had a meeting individually with them and told them what was going to happen. And then they had a team meeting and explained it. We talked to Tyler, and he was asked, hey, did you know when this decision was going to get made? He said, no. Like, we just found out today. So I think he was being honest. Like, there wasn't like a decision made behind closed doors and he was just gaslighting the entire media corps. It is what it was. And so, you know, here we are, right? We are at the point where there's a starting quarterback and they are going the route of, whether you want to call it a bridge, whether you want to call it just a sacrificial lamb, I don't know. But like, Spencer has his opportunity until he does it. And the opportunity is, go play well and it's your job. You know, if you give up the job, then that's where we are. But for at least the first few weeks of the season, it's Spencer Rattler time.
And it feels like the experience of seven games, even though they were losses, and he started in six, but sure, played in seven. He's played against Sean Payton, a real defense on Thursday night, right? He's played against Tampa. He's played against Green Bay, right? I mean, he's seen that what the speed of the real game is and a stunt and the pass rush that's coming at you. That's fast enough in the preseason, but on Thursday Night Football, on Amazon Prime or whatever it is, you know, he's seen it. And I think that counts for a lot.
Yeah, Kellen Moore talked about this, and I thought it was a good point. It's like, you know, that the experience matters. And there were things that happened to Spencer last year that if he was going to crumble, he would have crumbled. Like, you look at an Ian Book and the experience he had on that Monday night game against the Dolphins. First pass in his career was a pick six. He was never the same after that. Like, he came back, he played, but you could tell the confidence was shot. And I think it says a lot about Spencer that he was able to, that Thursday night game, you know, the game against the Chargers, the Monday night game against the Packers, you're going out on national television and getting shut out and looking bad doing it. Like, not everyone comes back from that. The fact that he was able to come back and be a viable player and look like a viable player, now we're going to have to see him do it in a game. But, no, I think that says a lot about him as a person. To learn from that, and I think if you do grow from it, there is value there. Now, it can completely undercut you as a player, but if it doesn't, you know, whatever it doesn't kill you makes you stronger kind of situation, yeah. I think that's where you are.
And it's hard to, and we've probably talked about this before, it is hard to evaluate Spencer's 2024 season. He played weeks 6, 7, and 8 after Derek got hurt, and like 1.5 games with Olave, like one reception. Shahid gone for the year. Olave gone. Taysom Hill out. His offensive line in weeks 16, 17, and 18. He had Nick Saldivari at left guard, Connor McGovern yep. at center, and Landon Young at right guard. And it was like that for a couple of games. He did have to get Caesar back for one game. And again, no Olave, no Shahid, no Taysom, no Alvin in the final three. So, gosh, you look at those six games, you guys, he was throwing to guys that weren't even on the roster in week 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you quite literally went out and signed MVS midseason,
right.
Dante Pettis midseason. And these were the players that were your wide receivers 1, 2, like Cedric Wilson was there. It was not a situation where you look at it like this is kind of the conversation I was having today. Like, it's fair to go and analyze how Spencer played and say, okay, he didn't necessarily handle this well. He didn't necessarily handle this well. Like, this is where he needed to improve. He could have been better here. But it's unfair to not include the context with that and say, well, he went 0-6. He doesn't deserve another chance because it's not a normal 0-6. Like, even you can look at it and say, hey, Derek Carr won 5 games. The Saints won 5 games all year. Derek Carr was the only one to win games for the Saints. But the games Derek Carr won, he had players to throw to, right? And while, you know, obviously Spencer was not playing at the level that Derek was playing at, like, he also didn't have a chance in those games. So, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, with players around him, with the playmakers, with an offensive line, with Eric McCoy, with a defense that I think has looked really good in the preseason, he has a chance for some success, and he's going to get a chance to show it.
Couple of things that, you know, he's still young, you know, pocket awareness, the sack fumble,
yeah.
And you can't lay all this on him, but the offense in general in the red zone, you know, you just, you know, what was it, 5 field goals in the first half of 3 preseason games? You know, you get down there, and if you don't cash in, and a couple of them, one of them was after a turnover, boom, against the Chargers, couldn't cash in. It's just, it's, you know, it's things like that. It's when all you got are preseason stats, it's hard not to get wrapped up in them.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, you know, no Alvin, no anybody, no game plan.
Yeah, that's what I would say is the game plan is non-existent. Like,
right.
You're running a milquetoast version of a milquetoast offense. Like, it's nothing.
That's a lot of milquetoast.
It is.
Take a break. Mike Haas along with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. We're going to break it down basically position by position. Offense, we just did the quarterback. Spend some time with the offense some more. Then we'll do defense, special teams. Keep it right here. It's the Bullseye Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Along with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, today was roster reduction day. Tomorrow, I like that better than cuts. Roster reduction, right? It's just, I don't know. So tomorrow they will have the practice squad and get back up to either 16 or 17, depending on if there's an international player. So offensively released or waived. Wide receivers, Kevin Austin, Roderick Daniels, Dante Pettis, Mucci Dixon, the quarterback, Jake Haener, running backs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Kim Akers was yesterday, Marcus Yarns, tight ends, Trayton Welch, Seth Green, Michael Jacobson, and offensive lineman, Kyle Hergel, Michael Panasuk, Shane Lemieux, Easton Kilty, Josiah Ezeerum, Jonathan Mendoza, Barry Wesley went to IR, but he's can return. Landon Young, IR, he's done. And they did sign Awesome Richards.
Is that how you say his name? Awesome?
Awesome. I believe it's A-H-S-U-M. Awesome.
In my head, it was a seam, but if it's awesome.
Okay. I went through some Dallas videos and some guys.
This is your bag?
Well, I mean, typically. Awesome Richards, who did play some tackle. The Saints, you know, their third trade in the preseason, not the training camp. I'm talking what's in the preseason games. The Cowboys get a 2028 Saints sixth rounder, and the Saints get the Cowboys 2028 seventh rounder.
Big stuff.
He was a former fifth rounder in 2023 out of North Carolina. Played 21 games, started one start, so, you know, it's just strange.
204 snaps at left tackle is the answer,
right?
And that was the cuts that surprised me the most, and 14 of them happened yesterday on Monday.
Yes.
And the other 20-some-odd cuts happened today in the IR moves and whatever. Because Landon Young is on season-ending IR, he's done.
Yep.
And so the cuts that surprised me, not in the sense that these players necessarily deserved a roster spot, but like you just had no numbers at tackle were Josiah Ezeerum and Easton Kilty because you just had no bodies. And once they cut those players, it became very clear that you were either going to make a trade or a waiver claim. And so that's why when that trade came through, I was like, all right, there you go. There's your backup tackle. Because it's just nobody. I mean, you feel good about your starters in Fuaga and Banks. But without Landon Young, like I don't even know who your sixth, seventh, or eighth offensive tackle or offensive lineman are. Like it's not a good spot to be in, so I mean, well,
there's a lot of guys we don't know about. We just Awesome Richards. We just picked
up the guys you know about
Luke,
are gone,
right? Just picked up Luke Fortner in the trade with Jacksonville.
He's your center. He's your backup.
Shane
center.
Lemieux was a release. He's a veteran, so he's somebody that could possibly come back.
Simpkins is still around, which is a good story. There's a couple good stories on offense, right? Like Torricelli Simpkins, not a guy that a lot of people expected to make the roster. He's still here. Valus Jones, not a lot of people expected to make the roster. He's still here. So, you know, I mean, you're giving guys opportunities.
Right. And so as far as the veterans on offense that they released, meaning that you have at least 4 years, you're a vested veteran, you can sign with anybody, but, you know, you have the opportunity. Shane is one of them, Dante Pettis, Cam Akers, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that from an offensive standpoint. It's Dylan Raidenz, Torricelli Simpkins, who I think really just showed them in the Chargers game when Will Clapp went out play three that, I'm in. He played 97% of the game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at center, which is really not his position.
North Carolina Central, where he came before he transferred to South Carolina, he played center for 3 years. Yeah. So he has plenty of experience at center. It just was not the position that they had really prioritized for him at the NFL level.
Right. And you're right. And you just wait and see tomorrow, I guess, would be, you know, kind of what happens. And then even the guys that we don't, you know.
I expect several waiver claims. I think that's, you know, like it's tough to project a 53-man roster right now because there's, I would be surprised if you don't claim a quarterback. I think Easton Stick. I think you cut an Easton and you might go claim an Easton.
Yeah.
In Easton Stick, who worked with Kellen with the Chargers, got cut by the Falcons. So it would double up and be, you know, insight on a team you play twice this year. And a quarterback is, you know, you want kind of intel on an offense. There's a reason when Andy Dalton went over to the Panthers, and I'm like, I'm going to have to change up some calls.
You mean
here.
When he was standing by the defensive coordinator when the Saints offense was on the field, literally standing beside him?
You got intel. Like, they know stuff.
Tight end wouldn't be, right? Probably just, it's a.
Yeah, Trayton Welch.
We don't know the situation officially with Taysom and Foster from a timeline standpoint.
Well, they're at least out a month.
Yeah.
So, I mean. Yeah, well, yeah, the first four games, right? The first month of the season. So you're not getting them. So, I mean, from a numbers perspective, you're okay with who you have, right? Like, feel like you're with Juwan Johnson, Jack Stoll, you have your move tight end, your receiving tight end, and your blocking tight end. You really only need two.
Right.
But one of those guys goes down, suddenly you're looking at Maliki Matavau, and I know there was some, you know, I was kind of vacillating on, okay, Matavau, Treyton Welch, who I thought Welch played really well, but I think there's a point where, for one thing, when you have a rookie and a kind of a veteran, a one-year deal kind of player, you have Matavau on a four-year sweetheart contract, and if you're close, you're going to keep the rookie. They didn't do that on defense. We'll talk about defense where they went the opposite direction, but you know, I think that's part of that, and you know you can bring Treyton Welch back on the practice squad. And then there's also, I'm going with Spencer Rattler as my starter, and one of the things that I will say for Treyton was that he had a very strong connection with Tyler Shuck. If you were starting Tyler Shuck, I would bet that Treyton is on the active roster, but you're not, so I think he goes to the practice squad.
Do you think... That's a later question, but I am curious, Charlie Smith, because it goes back to do you think it will be 16 or 17?
17.
Bring Charlie.
Yeah,
Charlie,
I mean, he could get claimed.
Yeah.
I mean, see, here's the thing. So we know that he went out for the first 3 weeks of camp and shanked a bunch of short field goals.
Yes.
But the other teams don't get that film. They only get the film of the 4-for-4 he went in the preseason games. So I think there's a chance that a team just, I don't know. I haven't been paying attention to all 31 other teams and now everyone is a kicker. But there's not that many kickers that you can go out there and trust. And they have evidence of him knocking 250-yard field goals through the uprights with plenty of, like, and I say plenty, I mean like 20, 30 yards to spare. So I wouldn't be stunned if a team was like, yeah, let's try it out. That said, if he doesn't get claimed on waivers, yeah, of course you do. Why wouldn't you? It doesn't make sense. Like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And it is interesting to be in this situation after three preseason games and getting ready for the start of the season, and you got Devon Vele. Right, he's on your roster. You haven't really seen much. Luke Fortner. I mean, you got guys that are just coming into this. Awesome Richards. It's just different to have these kind of trades in the preseason. It's been different for this team. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not in other teams. Certainly different for this football team. So it's a lot of questions. Right, but numerically, five wide receivers, two quarterbacks.
I think they have six wide receivers. Do they not? Oh, they cut Pettis. So I think Pettis comes back. So you have.
I don't know. Are they active right now? Did I add it wrong?
So Olave.
Brandon, Cedric, Rashid, Mason, Devon, and Chris. Yeah, six.
Yeah, they have six, right?
Yeah. So let me change that. All right.
Okay. We're doing this in real time.
Two quarterbacks, four running backs, three tight ends, and then we're nine offensive linemen.
Yep.
Right? And then because the Barry Wesley does not count against you, the IR situation.
Yeah, well, you know, it is funny because I was looking at the IR. You sent three guys to IR. Landon Young's one of them. And then, you know, when they put Barry Wesley on IR to return, I was like, that's a good thing. Because if Alante Taylor or Trevor Penning were at the risk of missing four games, you would have used that for them. So like, the second I saw Barry Wesley IR to return, it's like a sigh of relief for some of these other guys dealing with injuries.
Right. So that's kind of where things stand. It'll be kind of a, you know, tomorrow the Saints and other teams will begin to fill up their practice squads and go through the waiver wire. Waiver wire for the preseason, and I believe the first 3 weeks, is basically you're on your draft order.
Yes.
Right? And so that's where...
Yeah, so I think the Saints, you know, a lot of people would say they're probably going to have good waiver priority for a good chunk of the season. It's not going to be the case necessarily for the next 3 weeks.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Take a break, and we will flip the side from offense to defense, talk about the moves that were made there. As we continue on, this is the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Jeff Nowak. It's an inside look at the black and gold. Bullseye, the official tailgate sponsor of the New Orleans Saints. Keep it here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, as we break down what is the 53 as we stand today, and we'll see how things change in the coming days. And again, with three trades and three preseason games, this team is not going to sit pat very long. We spent the first couple of blocks talking about the offense. We'll now flip it over and talk about the defense. And these are the numbers of the people that got either released or waived in the last 2 days, because again, the Saints did do some yesterday. We'll flip it. We'll go from the secondary to the line. Terrell Burgess was released. Rico Payton waived injury. Jaden Price, Elliott Davison, the safety. Dallas Beanham, two linebackers. DeMarco Jackson, the fifth-round pick in 22, and Nephi Sewell. And then on the edge, Isaiah Foskey, your second-round pick in 23. Fadil Diggs, your seventh-round pick this year, the second one. Jeremiah Martin and Jasheen Davis. And then on the interior of the defensive line, Jonah Williams was released. And Jaden Peavy, Omari Thomas, and then Jonathan Ridgeway placed on IR but available to return. So he'll miss the first four games. And you kind of you know what pick number Isaiah Foskey was?
40, baby.
He was. And it's just you think about the conversation that we've had for the last since the draft
on whether it was worth drafting Tyler Shuck at number 40.
At 40, that,
as if
that
number 40
pick,
was
number 40.
This incredibly valuable pick that you should never worry about missing on.
Yes.
Yeah. And, trust me, I've had those thoughts.
And so, and you just, I mean.
Yeah. What's there to say? I mean, it's crazy because you look at a high second round pick and say it's so rare that it's like you almost never cut that guy, but it became so apparent. Like it wasn't a surprise to anybody. And that's just telling of where Foskey was. But we do have, this is what Kellen Moore had to say when he was asked about why they decided to cut Isaiah Foskey.
Tough one, really challenging. As you go through this, there's a numbers game associated with this, and you reach that point where there's only so many spots, and we felt like having four edge rushers gave us a really good opportunity, and then we'll kind of navigate the rest of it. And so, obviously we're rooting for all these guys. We hope they find their path, be successful. Foskey, he does it the right way. He's an awesome person. He competes. He challenges it each and every day. And so we'll see how it all shakes down.
So he, in 2023, played in 10 games as a rookie, 9 tackles, no tackles for a loss or quarterback hits. Last year, 17 games, but just 16 tackles because really it was all special teams.
Yeah.
In 23 and 24, in 24 last year, his second season, he played on 64 defensive snaps. That's 5%. He played 358 special team snaps. So for 2 years, 503 special teams snaps, great if you're a fifth-round pick, but that's just not the numbers you want for your second-round defensive end.
No, what I would have said going into this preseason is, it's tough to give a grade on him because he just didn't play. And, he was active for all 17 games. He got like 60, you said the number, like total defensive snaps. So it's like he's not even out there to not produce. Well, he got snaps this preseason. He got plenty of snaps. He was in that boat of like, you don't want to be the guy playing all the snaps. You want to be the guy who gets the first 10 and then puts a hat on and stands over on the sideline drinking Gatorade and saying, good job, yeah. Like, oh no, he gave me a penalty for running off the bench. Well, like, okay, but I'm okay. They're not cutting me. But like, he's the guy who was in there the entire game, and he actually made a couple plays, but they were way past the line of scrimmage because he's not getting to the quarterback. Like it was funny. I was writing a story and I was putting it up like Saints cut Foskey, and I was like, maybe I'm gonna try to find a picture of him near a quarterback. There weren't many. He just didn't get to the quarterback, and like you gotta get to the quarterback, and it just the lack of production. It just didn't happen. Here's the thing. I would be very surprised if there isn't one of 31 teams out there who's looking at the waiver wire being like, wow, look at all those sacks in Notre Dame. I can fix him.
Oh,
and maybe they can.
I believe he's probably in Denver. That's usually the kind of guy. I can fix anybody.
I don't think DA's going to want him.
No.
But maybe Denver. Yeah, maybe Vance Joseph. But either way, like it's a bummer. And it's like, it's not a bad dude. It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
It just didn't click. And I don't know. Well, I don't think this is going to be a Zach Bond scenario, but you always worry about that when it's like, we got to cut bait. That's why it's a difficult decision to make because there's obviously talent, or he wouldn't have been a day two pick.
Like a day two pick.
It is what it is. Right.
Let's pause 10 seconds to let stations identify themselves here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. So, it's not a perfect science. We were talking in that
it should be
short
more perfect
10
than that.
Second break is that it's like it wasn't, some guys get drafted. Oh, what a stretch. What a reach. I mean, he was drafted about where that's where you picked
him. He was my mock draft pick in that round. And it's tough to reconcile being right while also being that wrong, you know? Because, like, I try to get the picks right, and I did. So I was like, wow, good for me. But then it turns out this way, and I'm like, maybe I should have, you know, been wrong just to be right. And it is what it is. But, you know, that draft class in general, right?
Yeah.
That's not a pretty draft class to go look back at. Like, I think they did a good job of Brian Brzee.
Who was actually probably the biggest question mark of that draft.
Bobby
that
wasn't
draft
a fan.
Class. Oh, my gosh. We, coming off the injury.
I wish we had that bite to throw back to.
Oh, no. It's in my phone. Are you kidding me? I was sitting right here. And so
not a fan he was, but he did like the Foskey pick. I've never let him forget that.
And Brzee, man, you're right. Yeah. That,
Jake Haener.
Draft class.
Nick Saldivari. He's still on the roster, but he's on IR. He's not playing this season. A.T. Perry. He's in Denver. Actually, I think he was waived, but he was in Denver.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, that you one of the reasons the Saints cupboard has been as thin as it is over the last couple of years is because you can't have draft classes like that where you add one quality player. Jordan Howden, it's like he's still on the roster. Like, you just can't miss that many picks and expect your roster, the bottom end of your roster, to be quality. But it is what it is.
So were there any is other than we talked possibly Howden, you know, they have safeties and DBs. Isaac is a cornerback, but Julian Blackman, Justin Reed, Jordan Howden, Terrell Burgess, who was released, JT Gray, and Jonas Sanker, who I thought just played an outstanding, you know, just training camp and preseason. You know, Alante, we don't know enough about. Just know he's progressing with his injury.
We know that they don't expect him to miss the first month of the season.
Right.
That's what we know.
On IR.
Exactly.
Right. Could have been on he could have been the Barry Wesley IR return.
Right. The guy that I appreciate is Rico Payton got cut, which he was the guy who came to this offseason, and I was like, yeah, he has a chance to take a major step forward to be a carve out a role, and instead it was Rajon Wright. Who, you know, I had to ask him at one point this season, like, what's the correct way to pronounce your name? Because everyone was all over the place. And he was like, yeah, my mom threw a Z in there for some reason and messed everybody up. But, like, he's the guy who came and, like, earned a spot, right? He was out there kind of throwing punches with Brandon Cooks early on. Everyone was like, what is he doing? But then it was like, you know what? I kind of want a guy with an edge at the cornerback position. And, you know, he just plays physical. He's out there. He's a competitor. Like, he's not going to give you anything easy. And, you know, I thought he just kept earning more and more and more reps. And I was really pleased with what I saw. I thought he had a great game against the Broncos. So he was a guy that I was happy to see kept around. And there's a few more. Isaiah Stallbird was a guy that I think turned himself into an uncuttable player, because if you cut him, I'm pretty sure Darren Rizzi's going to be like, hey, Sean, hey, can you
get this kid?
I like that guy. Can you go get that guy? Thanks. Him and Jalen Ford probably as well. So, you know, they did cut DeMarco Jackson, who, you know, you mentioned he's a fifth-round pick. I wouldn't be surprised if the Broncos come after him. But, you know, I think what I expected going in was you're going to have to earn your roster spot. It's not going to be a draft slot situation where we invested in you.
Right. You aren't my guys.
Exactly. It's a new staff.
They even cut one of their guys.
Exactly. Fadil Diggs.
or waived him, I should say.
And they kept Chris Rumpf, who I thought played really well. And the only reason I didn't have him on my roster was because I was like, yeah, they drafted Fadil Diggs. They're going to want to keep him. They didn't. You know, and I think I appreciate that. Like, you should have to earn your spot. You know, some guys didn't.
A couple of free agents that came in, Bink, Colin Saunders, ended up getting traded after the Jacksonville game. And I thought Nathan Shepard really kind of, he took a lot of snaps and just kind of played his way back into the conversation. Like, I didn't feel going into training camp that he was going to be kind of as talked about at the end of the preseason as we did. Like, I was like, he was kind of like the guy who made the most of getting the snaps. He wasn't the 10-snap guy and going over sitting on the side. Nathan was in there, and, you know, he kind of earned a lot in this training camp.
Yeah, him and Bullard. You know, I thought they just kind of, again, they just earned those spots, right? And Shepard and Saunders were interesting because the Saints decided to restructure those contracts, which seemed odd at the time because you weren't saving that much money against the cap this year. But that was why I was like, oh, I guess they're planning on keeping him around. And that was true for Nathan. They traded Colin for Luke Fortner, which is I think that's a lot more about Christian Boyd than it is Colin.
Yeah.
And, you know, Christian he had a couple of nice moments. He's dealing with a hand injury right now, so I'm interested to see how that affects him over the first few weeks of the season. But I think he made that decision a lot easier because he played really well. I asked Devon Godshaw about Christian. He said he was one of the most surprising players to him in this camp. And I trust Devon's opinion. Devon has been around forever. A hugely important piece of this Brandon Staley defense. So you want to be getting talked up by that guy if you're going to stick around.
Saints defense, we'll continue to talk about that. Talk about a few players who kind of earned their way into this top 53 for now. We're a long way from Arizona on Sunday, September 7th, and then the 49ers after that. And I haven't checked the waiver wire or the release wire, but I think as we work our way to special teams at the end of the show, it'll be Blake Gillikin coming first for Arizona, and then Thomas Morstead coming second for San Francisco.
Wonderful.
So it's going to be a reunion of sorts. We'll have to wait and see. That's Kai Kroger's job for now. We'll talk about that and more as we continue on here on the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold Bullseye official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas along with Jeff Nowak, sideline reporter. And I was wrong, but I think in the end it's not going to be different that Thomas Morstead was released by the Niners a few hours ago. But what did he tweet?
R space E space L space A space X. So unless that's some acronym I don't know, he's telling everyone to relax. He's a veteran. So the way waivers works, if anyone doesn't know how waivers works, right? If you have four accrued seasons in the NFL, which means you were on an active roster for at least six games, you accrue a season, then you bypass the waiver system and you can go sign wherever you want. So effectively, you know, if you get past your rookie contract, you are a veteran in the NFL. Like Clyde Edwards-Helaire was cut by the Saints. He can go sign somewhere else. But a team can't claim him. So I'm only saying this because Thomas Morstead is not on waivers. The Saints can't claim him. He would have to come sign here or sign wherever he wanted. So it's a lot easier to cut a veteran player and say, just hang around, we're bringing you back. The Saints did that with Dwayne Washington a couple years ago.
Yeah, and it was all the time.
He didn't even like leave the building.
Because you can. There's of your practice squad players, you can keep a certain amount of vested veterans, right? And so you can't stock them down there, but you couldn't do that.
Well, you can have the conversation and say, we're going to bring you back. We're going to cut you. Don't go anywhere. Whereas with a rookie or a younger player, you cut them. Like, for example, Devin Neal. If you wanted to keep Clyde and you had to cut Devin Neal to do it, you would have to say, well, hopefully no one claims him. Look at Boston Scott. That's the best example I can come up with. Yep. The Saints kept him. He was a draft pick. He wasn't a UDFA. He was a seventh-round pick. The Saints kept him on the initial 53, then tried to get cute, stick him on the practice squad, and it's always the Eagles, it seems like. They did the same thing with Ian Book. They were like, yeah, we want him, and they took him. And I don't know, I think the Saints probably wanted him. They probably would have loved to have him for a couple years there. So, you know, and as a Giants fan at heart, I hate Boston Scott because he's a Giants killer. but no, I mean, it makes sense, and you know, I think Thomas is going to be the 49ers punter. That's a long way of saying that.
Yep, think so as well. 39 years old, Thomas Morstead, and then Blake Gillikin remained with Arizona. So he was with the Saints in 21 and 22. So he'll be here week one, and then Morstead in week two. As you look at this defense, that three interceptions, Jalen Ford, Quincy Riley, Jonas Anker, so two of their rookies. And just overall, you know, when you look at Vernon Broughton, and you look at Sanker, and you look at Quincy Riley, who after two games had led the team with eight tackles and a special team stop and the pick. It just feels like that squad, that youth. I want to make sure am I missing anybody?
Safety wise?
No, just defensive rookies. Other Fadil Diggs that they released. Stanny Stutzman. So Stutzman, Sanker, and Riley, man, I just felt like they had really, really strong camps.
Yeah, no, I think the Saints, we talk about the 2023 draft, and, you know, I don't think anyone from the 2023 draft class that was cut had as strong of a camp as any of those rookies this year. And that's excluding Broughton, I guess, because I don't think Broughton had a huge camp. He did have a strong finish. I thought he had a really nice showing against the Broncos. Like, I don't recall, you know, Isaiah Foskey ever flashing the way that we saw a Danny Stutzman. Like, so I that is to say, like, I am optimistic about this current crop of rookies that they brought in. And you needed something. You needed a class like that where you pulled, you know, 4 or 5 contributors. Not all starters, but guys that had roles on your team. Because you can't afford to constantly be signing free agents to fill those gaps. Like, you got to do it with cheap rookie contracts. And it looks like at this point they have a couple that like could develop into real players for this team.
Yeah, especially Quincy, and given the situation with not knowing how long Alante Taylor will be out. But man, early on he talked about, you know, he's a very physical, you know, DB, loves to tackle, and, you know, came through with 8 against Jacksonville.
I always wonder, you know, there's a point where I don't want my cornerbacks getting tackles.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't want my cornerbacks to be my leading tackler.
I don't want my to be the leading tackler on the team.
I don't mind safeties.
I don't want him to be the leading tackler
on
the team.
I'm okay with safeties. But because a lot of times you're going to have a safety climbing up into the box and making tackles and
usually
run stuff.
It's 8 yards downfield.
But, like, cornerbacks, I don't want to be my leading tackler because that means they're allowing catches a lot of times. Anyway, that's an aside. But
yeah.
Bobby always is like, yeah, I was leading tackler. But that's not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah, I get you. Sanker, man, he's a disruptor. He can blow some things up.
Yes. Yes, he's a hitter. Like, he gets downhill. He plays like a little linebacker. You know, I asked DeMario about that, and it was just like you watch him lay the wood on people, and it's like, that's a safety? Wait a second. You know, and I don't know if he was doing that in 8-man football, but that's probably why he got – you know, when we talked to him after the draft, he was like, okay, what defines your game? And he was like, I'm a hitter. I come downhill, and I hit people. And I was like, okay, I see it.
Yeah. Christian Boyd had a couple of sacks. Jasheen Davis a sack. Chris Rumpf and Jonah Williams. We don't want to go deep into the weeds here on run defense, but your overall impression of how this team, first team, and those first halves against other teams did defensively, kind of stopping the run.
Yeah, it's tough to say just because you only saw one game with the real first-team defense, and by that I mean the run defense is going to go as Devon Godshot goes.
Right.
And he looked real good again. Like, all you have to – I tweeted a clip of it. Like, all you have to do is go to the first run rep for the Broncos in that game, and it's a perfect example of how Devon Godshot changes the system for the Saints. And I asked Brandon Staley about this, and it's like – he's a guy that, so he might not be getting double teamed, but you need your nose tackle to win one-on-one if he's not getting double teamed. And that's what happened on that rep. They tried to single block him. He covered his outside gap, and that guy tried to cut back, and he was able to kind of cross the blocker's face and make the play in the other gap. And it's like, when you can be a two-gap player at nose tackle, it makes life so much easier on everybody else because they have to double team you, or they're not going to be able to run the ball. And when he was in there, it worked. So I'm very optimistic about him in that scheme and how he can affect it.
Plaquemine, Louisiana, been around all these years. That was his first game in the Superdome. First time I ever played the Superdome.
Yep. No state championships, yep. No LSU.
No nothing.
Yep.
But
no road games in the NFL even.
Yeah. So that's kind of hard to believe when you think about it. But he was there against Denver briefly and see him against Arizona on not this Sunday, but next Sunday. Take a quick break, come back, and we'll talk about the special teams as we break down the 53-man roster. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour, and inside look at the black and gold right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
I don't think we talk about kickers in terms of development the way we do with other positions, but, you know, it's just being a third-year player at that position is valuable, like, just as you kind of go through this process.
It definitely is. Look, I think the third year probably is when you kind of it all comes together, right? Your rookie year, you don't know what you don't know yet. And by saying, like, you don't know the routine of how an NFL season works and how long it is and what the practice schedule and the requirements are and that sort of thing. And then you get to your sophomore year or your second year in a league, and it's like, okay, I made it through my rookie year. I kind of have an idea. Now I need to perfect my craft and I need to perfect my schedule. Everything down to the fact of, okay, not only like these are my kicking days, but these are the certain days that I'm studying my own film, or I'm studying the opponent's kickers and punters and specialists, or here's when I'm getting my stretch or my yoga or my massage. I just think you kind of put that routine together. And then when you get to year 3, you kind of, all right, I got to figure it out now. I know exactly how and what I need to do for my body and for my mental preparation to be successful. And so I'm excited about where Blake is right now.
But I would think Blake is as well. That special teams coordinator, Phil Galliano. And I mean, in practices, it was one thing. In Metairie to California to the preseason games, he made 31, 51, 56, 49, 48. Did not attempt an extra point because Saints only scored three touchdowns.
And didn't get a lot of opportunities.
Only had one was a two-point conversion, and Charlie Smith handled the others, which were 50, 23, 40, and 52. So 9 for 9, 2 for 2. But, man, he was – so games aside – and he's got a little swagger to him. You know, Blake's got a little, you know, he's a little tough.
Kicker is one of the positions where mental means the most, right? Like, when you were confident as a kicker, you were a better kicker. It is not, like, there's a certain level of, like, muscle memory that goes into it. But, like, you know, you can tell when a kicker believes every kick he puts out there is going to go in.
Yeah.
And Blake, he can just see it. And, you know, one of the things, and that's one of the reasons I ask Phil that question is because it's kind of bumming me out that every year we see a rookie punter, because like one of the reasons Blake is on the tear he's on right now is because they stuck with him, because they were, you know, he struggled a little bit as a rookie. He had the short misses. He missed in Green Bay. Like, you could have justifiably said, ah, we're going to go a different direction. Let's try a different guy. But you stuck with him. He improved in his second year, and he looks like he's on, you know, on track to have a incredible year three. And here's the thing, like, you don't feel that way at punter? You know, I feel like at a certain point, I'd like to see someone have a chance to improve year over year. And I don't know what the deal was with Hayball. They moved on real quick. You know, obviously, Headley is what it was what it was. But, like, I haven't seen the Saints have a punter out there that was better than Headley at this point. Because if nothing else, I watched Headley pin a whole bunch of punts inside the 10. I didn't see Hayball do that maybe twice last year. I haven't seen Kroger do that once this year. I didn't see Burnup do it at all. So it's like, it's just getting frustrating to watch year over year. It's like, wow, why isn't the punter operating at a high level? Because every year you have a rookie punter. And it's just, it's annoying to watch the opposite play out, where you stick with a guy and suddenly he looks fantastic. I don't know. It's just where I'm at with it.
Felt like it was Burnup's job to lose, but he didn't. You know, he had 5 punts, averaged 37.6. None were returned. You know, so his net was 37.6. And Kai Kroger comes in. He was the holder on Sunday, and he had the only punt.
It was fine. It was like 38 yards.
Yeah, but they were kicking from the New Orleans midfield.
He got it to the 14.
Right, got it to the 14.
Which I want that to be the 8. Like, why can't that be the 8?
Yeah, I agree. I think overall his net average of 42.3. Long of 54, 2 inside the 20. I don't know. I just felt like, eh.
It's you can't. You will not convince me that the Saints currently have one of the 32 best punters in the NFL.
They do on August 26th.
They have one of the 32 starting punters in the NFL. I'll give you that.
They do on August 26th. Lots of football to go tomorrow again. Go through the waiver wire. They'll get everything signed up. They'll sign up their practice squad players. And then kind of work through this week, and then it'll be a normal week pre-Arizona. My thanks to Charlie Long in the booth, Jeff Nowak, as always, breaking down the roster, which we'll do again tomorrow on Sports Talk and all the way through till we get till next Sunday and the season opener, the NFC West, Arizona, San Francisco, Seattle. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been the Bullseye Saints Hour, an inside look at the black and gold. Thanks for joining us here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.